The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com.
Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, you know what, 10 years has never looked better, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
Doing good. The 10 years you're talking about is my anniversary to
yes,
my wife.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Congratulations on that. Let's get into it, because I'm sure we'll talk about that. But before we do anything, we like to start this show and every episode. We want to remind you that we are sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is the premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place in gaming. They have an amazing website that if you haven't been to yet, you should go. KGS Online, that's Kite Go Samuel Online, or Kerwin's Game Store Online.com. You can use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout to get 5% off that online order. And we love it if you did, because lets them know you listen to the show. If you do happen to go to one of the stores, if you're in the New York State area, make sure you mention you heard about the store through us. We also want to take a second to recognize our rare level patrons: Steve, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, and Dragon D's Nuts, because I just love that. He gets an and before that. But we have a new member, a rare level patron here. We want to thank Levi for joining up along with us. He played with us Wednesday night, actually. I didn't have the heart to tell him that he didn't have to be a patron last week because he was sitting in anyway. But, you know, this week he gets first dibs. We also want to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake and Jonathan, and Imagine Dragon the Sea Across Your Face. And then we can't forget our producer-level patrons, Jamie and Walter, as well. These people helped the show out in so very many, many ways. We couldn't do it without them now, so we thank you so much. You know, one of the big things that they get is the chance to play with us. They get first dibs at the playing with us on Wednesday for our Commander Craft podcast, which will be this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Game one, we usually reserve for patrons, and then game two, we usually try to fit a non-patron in if we have it. So if you're a patron, go into the Discord right now. Let us know that you would like that spot on the patron channel, and we'll get you hooked up first to get it. Because I think, you're the champion, right?
I am currently wearing the crown with my Gen Arcanum Weaver deck that likes to do enchantment shenanigans. So, yeah, check us out on Wednesday night. Yeah. I'm hoping to go win again and maybe trigger after another. If I win both games, we would trigger Nemesis. But right. I'm just hoping
if
to get
you
some
wish
good games
to, then. You have a choice.
Yeah.
And if I wish to. And we also want to, so, you know, that'll be Wednesday night. Commander Craft will be on all of our stations where we play Paper Commander using webcams and spell table and microphones and, you know, sound effects and funny stuff. We also want to take a second to remind you that we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers network of podcasts. Really, there's just two of us. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, has launched. They are on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. And you can download them and find them on almost all podcatchers now, including Apple and Spotify. So for more, hit them up on our Discord. They have their own area, and it's very active in and of itself. You can find our Discord at discord.plainstalkerspodcast.com. Finally, we want to remind you that we still have our survey open, folks. Please go to survey.plainstalkerspodcast.com. Let us know how the show is doing. Let us know how we can improve things. It would just be great. But we are still in Untap, and, you know, it's been 2 weeks because we took last week off because I had some family stuff. So I've been waiting to untap this. This is called Command N. It is a triple New England-style IPA. So down the hatch for me. And Aramis, my friend.
Did you just say triple?
Triple, yeah.
Great. That's great. That's great.
Oh, we're going fully off the rails tonight, so... down the hatch. And, sir, I'm drinking this as a toast to you. I'm going to ask you, because I ask you every week, how the hell are you? But a salute, sir. How the hell are you?
I'm doing very well. like you, like we mentioned right at the launch of the show, celebrated my 10th wedding anniversary over the weekend. We got married 10 years ago, which was it's been amazing. That 10 years has gone by so fast. She's currently dealing with our son right now, so I don't know if she's going to be able to checking in.
Oh, she likes to, too. I love it. I still have to make a sound effect for her, but I got to be careful because she's like a wife. You don't want to go too crazy on the sound effects, you know? Like for my wife, I mean, it would be a ball and chain hitting the ground, but I know that that would be inappropriate for Pam. So,
well, it's actually funny you should mention that because during our reception when they introduced us,
yes,
she came out by herself. And then she was like, look, you know, she had her hands up looking. I was like, oh, where'd my husband go? Where'd my husband? And I came in with a ball and chain.
Wow. Wow.
The crowd, everybody that was there loved it. They got the biggest kick out of it. So then, you know, it was great. But, 10-year anniversary, we went and got, you know, had a nice dinner, did some leaf peeping, you know, pretty low key. We kind of wanted to have a bigger celebration, but hey, guess what?
COVID. Yeah, so. And I really need COVID to go away. My wife's... She's not listening. Who am I talking to? She's playing RuneScape. My wife's 50th is in March. And so I'm hoping to put together some sort of surprise soiree for her. But
well, I mean, I'll tell you right now, my 40th is in January. Yeah. And
you're doing it anyway. I'll be there.
No.
Mother Hucker, you better. I'm coming.
I'll talk to you after the show as to what we're planning on doing.
Okay.
But we're not going to have the big get together in January because we just don't think it's going to be
over
where it needs to be.
Yeah.
We're hoping maybe to do it in the summertime because I've never had a summer birthday party because I was born in January. So that'd be a great way to do the 40th.
She keeps trying. Wendy does for me because I have the worst possible birthday. My birthday is the absolute worst day you could ever have. I was born December 25th at 10:06 a.m. The fact is, but believe it or not, I mean, and we all know how much I love pleasants, okay? I'm a big pleasant guy, but it's very strange. When it comes to my birthday, I'm kind of a damn purist, where I'm like, when I was a kid, they'd be like, do you want us to do your birthday in June or da-da-da, or when your friends can come? And I'm like, well, when was I born? And they're like, Christmas, and I'm like, that's my birthday. Sucks to be me. I mean, just it, even as an 8-year-old, I'm like, it just felt like a gift grab. So she constantly, because, and really it's all about her. Can you imagine having, you know, your spouse's birthday be on Christmas? Like, it sucks. And, you know, she's looking for any way to be like, I don't want to make this day any more about you than we already do. And yet I'm still like, nope. My birthday's on December 25th. My mom was in labor for many hours for me, so sucks to be you. You're going to have to live with it. So I get it, but yeah, I'd love the summer birthday. I'm coming around on it, especially maybe for my 50th.
My brother-in-law was born on July 4th.
Oh, see, that's a cool birthday.
That's rolling a nat 20 on the birthdays right there. But yeah, that's what we're thinking of doing a big party for the 40th in the summertime, but doing something much more low-key in January because stupid. Fucking
I better be on the low-key guest list. Now I want to be on the low-key guest list. That seems like the A-list. I want to be in that A-list.
No. I will talk to you after the show about what we're planning on doing.
He's like, maybe you don't want to be. We're doing a, what the heck was it there, that movie with the bride?
We're doing a human sacrifice.
Yeah. We're doing a Squid Game birthday party. What?
Full on Mayan interpretation of how birthdays are supposed to work. One of you dies. You must appease the gods.
Not it. Okay. I must apologize for last week, guys. We've had some major movement here. We had to have a meeting last week because, you know, family stuff going on with the daughter. And then she turned right around and we had a plan put together because it's been a little. Listen, anyone who's raised a teenager knows that there comes a certain point where you're like, where my wife equates it to having children. Like, she's like, there comes a point where you look at the baby when it's inside you and you're just about to birth it. You're in month 9 and she's like, just get this damn thing out of me. We're, you know, I guess with kids that are done with college and they've moved on, there's a point where parents are like, just get the hell out of the house. I don't care where you go. And Isabel, I guess, has hit that. And then she turned around and I went with her last Tuesday to where her new apartment's going to be. We took a tour. And so she's going to go down and show it to her dad tomorrow. Like I did like parent duty and like I flew the flag. And then basically she's going to get it. So within the next 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, my daughter's going to move out. I'm going to get her room. Yes, I'll have a real studio. And, but I mean, so that's kind of what happened last week. So I do apologize for taking that night off, but there was nothing I could do. We needed to have a sit down, the meeting and stuff with the fam. But other than that, I mean, it's been pretty cool. I've been secretly taking, courses to kind of enhance my technical knowledge for no real reason other than, you know, I'm 47 years old and I passed my first Microsoft exam in a very long time yesterday. So, which is not easy to do. It's using new technology. It's on what's something called Azure. And I'm doing it strictly because I just want to enhance my knowledge of things like the cloud. So I went ahead and took that exam. I passed it, which I'm very excited for. So I might go on and take the next one just to kind of, again, it's been a long time since I've been certified in Microsoft. It's been about, you know, I haven't needed to because I've been working straight along that it's just not something I really felt I needed to keep up on. So it's kind of exciting to be a student again, but I'm looking forward to it. Other than that, I mean, Wendy's just kind of getting healthy again. She was sick for a while and that's kind of everything. That's my haps. So, you know, anything else going on with you?
No, we got some family coming up this week, which is going to be nice. I'm going to be taking a few days off.
Magic?
No.
Well,
not that family. It's a different family.
Well, let's kind of go into upkeep then. Let's tell you guys what's coming on the show. So for tonight, well, like I said, an untap, we like to kind of talk about ourselves, catch up. I show you the beer I'm drinking. And by the way, very good beer I'm drinking. Goes down very smooth for a trip. State of Standard, we're going to talk about that, because Worlds certainly had an impact. It was our first major tournament that we got to see where Standard was kind of front and center. Then we're going to kind of go into, we're going to pivot off of State of Standard into the Worlds recap, kind of talk about some of that. Going to have a combat about should Standard see a ban. It is something everybody's talking about right now, and I imagine we might actually have combat on that. And then Main 2. We'll go over some news about Crimson Vow. We'll talk about the stream I did today because I took today off and basically we're going to talk a little bit about the deck I built today. And that's going to be kind of, you know, that's going to be kind of our show. And that should get us to a full hour. So why don't we go ahead and get right into the main phase?
Main phase.
All right. Main phase. So we had an incredible weekend here. I did get to watch a lot of Worlds because I was preparing for my exam, so I kind of spent a lot of time down just watching stuff. But Worlds happened this past weekend, and it did have an impact on Standard. You know, it was Worlds was, what, 16 pre-qualified?
Top 16,
yeah. Well, yep. I would say top 16. It's like 16
well, yeah,
pre-qualified.
16 qualifiers. Yeah.
So, and they were basically, it was a 3-day tournament. Day one was, half of day one was draft, and then they started the Standard stuff. Day two and three was all Standard, wall to wall. We saw a lot of stuff go on, but I mean, the Standard metagame, at least according to MTG Goldfish right now, it's kind of strange because I don't know how reflective it is of how Standard is right now. Because I feel like Worlds kind of gives you an idea of what's really happening out there. Because, I mean, these guys tested tons of decks, and these are the decks they chose. But as it stands right now, Standard, I mean, mid-range and aggro, basically, let's just put it on Front Street. Mid-range and aggro are struggling against control. Control is a freaking monster right now. Between Azorius, Izzet, and even to some extent, you know, Teemer.
Grixis.
Yeah, and Grixis. Oh, freaking Grixis. Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous. A lot of that has to do with, I don't know how much I can call control or tempo. I feel like, you know, and a lot of it has to do with my wallpaper, Epiphany, today. I feel that Epiphany, you know, right now in this meta, given that there are only 5 sets out there, that control right now, a lot of the control magic is just incredibly good. You know, not just Alrun's Epiphany, but even Divide by Zero. There's that 2-drop
Expressive Iteration.
Well, there's expressive iteration, yeah. But I'm thinking of there's a Memory Deluge, first of all, saw a ton of play. But
that's a really good card.
It's a really, really good card. But it was, let me see, I'm trying to find it here. It's a
Malevolent Hermit?
Yeah, Malevolent Hermit. Like, didn't see that one coming, per se. But just a very, very more powerful, I think, than we realized. The one thing that I think Throne did is that, in a way, we're kind some of the cards that we really saw do a lot of lifting this weekend are cards that have not had their day, but have been out for a while. You know, like, you know, all of a sudden the Kazandu Mammoth is actually a decent card again. You know, and that goes all the way back to Zendikar Rising. You know, Lotus Cobra, things like that. I mean, it's cards that we didn't play because Throne of Eldraine was out there and Mill and Rogues was out there. Now it's much more, you know, and I will take the hit on this. I'm wrong. I thought we'd see a lot more tribal, but we're now just seeing a whole lot of archetype. It's control or aggro or mid-range is nowhere.
where's your Morden Kanan? I thought you said Morden
Kanan. Shut up. IOE Collective Booster. shut up. But, yeah, it's definitely a, you know, what do you think? I mean, taking a look at the list, I mean, again, I don't feel like this is indicative of Worlds, or maybe they just because Worlds is 16 decks that didn't move MTG Goldfish's needle. But I think
it's not going to move MTG Goldfish's needle. Till the this world's week. Field obviously is going to be a little skewed because the field is so small. The various is it flavored decks are definitely the ones to beat. There's a few different flavors of Epiphany that are out there. A lot of these decks do rotate around trying to get off Elrond's Epiphany. They have different ways of going about doing that. Obviously, we'll talk about Elrond's Epiphany a little bit later on in the show.
What? You think we're going to talk about that in combat?
looking at the meta, in a technical sense, a rogue deck won the tournament.
A rogue deck went to finals. Both of them were rogue decks.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched the whole, pretty much all of Saturday and Sunday, I watched most of it. Some of that was... You know, I think what it was those were rogue decks. We've seen that before. Like, I would say Autumn Burchett's win that they did a few years ago was them reading the meta and bringing a deck that can take it. Do I think that is it Dragons or what was he playing? Teemer Treasures? Yeah.
Teemer Treasures, yeah.
Yeah. Do I think is it Dragon and Teemer Treasures are tier one decks? No. Not in this meta right now. But I think they are... You know, I think that was a fine example of Yuta and Jean-Emmanuel. And, I mean, we could kind of pivot between State of Standard and Worlds a little bit. I feel like that was them actually reading the field and going, okay, you know, like they made a Venn diagram saying, okay, you got mono green, mono white, Epiphany, you know, here. These are like the three major archetypes. What can... You know, what beats those decks? Well, what beats mono green? Well, Dragons does really well against mono green. And what beats mono white? Well, Dragons does really good against mono white, but it can have a harder time with, or it can struggle with mono white, but it has a harder time with Epiphany. But I think I really feel like those guys went ahead and they tried, which is what you should do at Worlds, is they went and found decks that can take out. You know, they tried to make David take Goliath, and it worked, you know. And some of it, I hate Arena. I hate that we're doing Worlds on Arena. And we could talk about that during the event, too. But I hate that we're doing Worlds on Arena because half of those matches I saw sometimes were keeping two landers and never seeing a land again. Or keeping a three lander and getting nothing but lands. Like... And I understand that that's a part of Magic, but it seems like in Arena, it's more of an issue than in real world Magic.
It's like it's the weird thing where it's as close to truly random as it can be, because when you shuffle, there may be some unknown bias that you have while you're shuffling your deck that's non-existent in Arena. But at the same time, it feels like, you know, you have a 1 in 100 chance of having a 2-land hand that you don't see any more lands, and it feels like you roll that one a whole bunch of times. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's confirmation bias, sometimes it's just bad luck, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
I mean, well, when you see Jan Merkel and Jean-Emmanuel both mull down to five, or was it? It was Jan-Emmanuel and, or it might have been Jan-Emmanuel and Andre. I'm not sure which one it was, but basically, there came a point where they both mulled down to five. I'm like, holy shit! Like, that's just not a feel good. Like, you're lucky you both did it. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, there's something to be said about aggressive mulliganing anyway. Right. I mean, these people, obviously, these 16 players in the tournament they're the best in the world.
They are the best in the world. I can say that.
You know, so they know.
And
they
I think Yuta was the best on that field by far.
Yeah, I want to talk about Yuta here in a second, but they know. They've practiced these decks for weeks.
Oh yeah,
you know they know the ins and outs. They know the lines. They know the percentages. They know what hands look good. I'm pretty sure they had perfect information because I think the deck lists were open anyway.
They were so as they of knew Tuesday. What their opponent was right.
Yeah, they knew what their opponent was playing. So as soon as they saw, okay, I'm playing Andre Strosky in this round, what kind of a hand do I want? You're going to be able to be more aggressive with what you decide to keep because you're like, all right, well I have this and this. How is it going to play out against his deck if he has this kind of start, this kind of start? You're making all these little decisions in your head. And in the end, yeah, you might mulligan a little more aggressively than you would otherwise. But at the same time, Arena has that nasty little habit of saying, oh, that's a nice hand you got there. It'd be a shame if you didn't draw any more lands.
Yeah. And that happened more than it should have. I do believe it cost Jan Merkel a win. Of at least a match, if not at least a game in the match. But it was definitely one of those things where I saw it all weekend, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. It is weird that there's no real good aggro deck. I mean, I think green is the best aggro deck that's out there. But in this field, it's not. It's good.
I think at what, seventh place?
Sam Pardee was playing really, really, really well. He was the only one I think to get to day two. Oh shit. Well, or he was the only one really in a great position. Like it became clear very fast. PVDDR had problems with it. A lot of guys had problems with aggro. Sam Pardee was doing really well all day of day two, and then most of day one, half of day two, and then laid an egg at the end of the day. I think aggro just struggles, which sucks because I love aggro, but it struggles in this meta, and it definitely struggles when you get to Arena and things like mana, and you get to things like, you know, that sort of thing. But I mean, some of his matches were, I mean, just nothing more than horrible draws, like Flood, you know. And again, that's part of Magic. I'm not sitting here and saying that's not part of Magic. I've been playing Magic a long time. Flooding out and getting mana screwed, that's a part of the game. But it happened, like, if you watch the Twitch streams and they're still up.
It just feels like it happens more often on Arena or more often than you feel like it reasonably should if you were playing in paper. I get completely what you're feeling. And it's hard to say that without sounding like you're just bitching.
Right.
And I get and I understand that too, and I hate to be that guy. Where it's like, oh, fucking Arena did it to me again. But I see it all the time. It's at the point where if I'm playing a game and I see two lands, I'm like, well, I can't keep this.
Right.
Doesn't matter what I have. Doesn't matter if you, like, I kept a hand in Arena a couple days ago where it was two lands and three 2-mana rocks. Still didn't see another land and still lost.
Yep.
Because you're spending your whole turn, you know, putting down rocks and rocks and rocks. And meanwhile, your opponent is not missing their land drops and they're ramping. And you're like, well, I'm so far behind.
Yeah. I'm confident Arena is pretty biased and non-random. And my evidence is they have admitted the shuffler is best of one is not random. Well, yes. What they've admitted in best of one is that they look at two and say which one is better. And they use
that stupid hand smoother. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Pain in the ass.
But I do believe it is random. Here's the thing, though. You know, I you see it less in Paper Magic. Like, I've been watching Twitch streams now for 5 years, 6 years since I came back. And you watch Twitch streams and you watch these big events, you don't see Screw and Flood half as much as you do on Arena. And I can't, and here's the thing, I'm kind of a mind of like, okay, I get not doing a GP. I get not even doing a Pro Tour event. But for Worlds, for 16 people who you know who they are months in advance, why in the absolute hell didn't they bring them in? Why didn't they tell them, okay, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks, you have to be tested, you have to, you know, like, if you want to play, and if you can't play, you're out.
That's the biggest problem right there is the logistics of it, because they would have to, one, find a venue that was not in the United States, because a lot of these countries, you cannot fly to the United States.
And a lot of these countries, a lot of these players are not in the United States this year.
Yeah. I mean, the top four was Germany, Japan, the Czech Republic,
and France, I think.
France.
Yeah.
So, but that's right now, that's the problem, is global travel is hard to do.
Yeah,
right now.
I get that.
And having all of these players quarantined for 2 weeks and meet in a central location and all the testing and everything else, and some of these countries may not have the same kind of access to testing as other. It's the logistical nightmare is still just too big for that.
I guess I understand that.
Yeah, it sucks, because I agree with you. Worlds should be in person. Worlds should be in paper. I mean, yes, Arena is big and flashy and cool looking and everything else, but when it works anyway.
The problem too, though, is that I feel like this may be the last Worlds.
I don't think it's the last Worlds, but I think.
How?
We need to hear something soon. We need to hear something soon. That would, like, I don't want to put my hat in that ring right now, saying that competitive Magic is dead. We're never going to see a World Championships again. I need them to say something before the end of the year, saying, "Hey, this is how it's going to start looking. World Championship 28 is going to happen. This is sort of how it's going to work. You know, we're open to changing it with or without notice. I'm okay with that, even."
But how would you qualify something without events, without pro tours? Okay, which is what we've been told.
Half of these guys didn't qualify because they still had the MPL and everything else. I mean, like, the random, like, you and I had no chance at Worlds.
Well, of course not. I never did.
No, anyway. but in prior years we would have.
Yeah, I look at this and I'm like, I really feel like I have a strange sneaking suspicion this will be the last one, because they haven't said what's next. And it doesn't look like we're going to get in person. They're trying, but I think it's a little too soon. I think
it's still, I think, a solid year away.
And they're not having events. They're like, everything's going to be local. You're going to have events that are local. And
part of it too is they really can't.
Right.
I don't think, part of it, I don't think, is them not wanting to. I think they want to.
Oh, I don't.
I think they don't want to. But I think what part of it too is that they are really gung ho behind saying, "Oh, can't do it because of COVID," which, you know what? Okay. I feel like if this was happening and there wasn't a pandemic going on, I'd be freaking out.
Right.
Right now, it's so nebulous. There's so much going on. I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but at the same time, I just want them to say something.
Right.
But I think, honestly, can we pivot away from the negative and just talk about how much of an awesome performance that was by Yuta Takahashi?
Oh, incredibly. Incredibly.
Can we talk about how impossible what he did was?
And it was. Here's the thing,
It was impossible.
Yeah. Yes and no, because Andre almost did the same thing. Andre went like 9-0.
Yeah, but he didn't start 0-3.
No. But here's the deal. Like, I'm looking at this, and I watched the whole day. And the fact is this. This is a prime example of a player playing better than his deck. In that Yuta, basically, he's known as the fairy guy. He loves playing modern fairies and legacy fairies. You know, he likes playing fairies in those decks. So what he did was he did Is It Dragons, which is he felt was close, which gives him Invasion and gives him all this stuff. And he tooled his play style to play that deck to the best of his ability. And better, by the way, than some of the commentators, because like I said, I did watch a lot. And the commentators would say something like, well, he's obviously going to do this, this, or this. And then he goes and does something different. They're like, oh, I see what he's doing. Oh, and their minds explode. This is Yuta Takahashi is a prime example of a above average Magic player that probably not many people have heard of, but everybody will hear of, you know, going forward. He played an amazing day, and watching him play was exciting. In some regards, I kind of, you know, I was not a big fan of Jean-Emmanuel. I was like,
I'll say this.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to watch Worlds.
I
remember checking in at the end of day one and seeing the standings and saying, oh, okay, PBDR is doing pretty well.
Andre's in first place.
I think Strosky who was undefeated after day one?
Yep.
So I was like, all right, it's shaping up to be a pretty good tournament. Everybody's pretty close. And I saw Yuta was at the bottom, and I was like, oh, well, so that sucks. And then I remember checking in a little later in the day, and they were showing, you know, this video clip was going
of him
blowing up on Magic Twitter of Yuta having completed that perfect 7-0 run to get into the top four, and him just bursting into tears.
Yes.
And I just, it's, I mean, that
it even hit me. I was like, aw.
I mean, that is probably the marquee moment in tournament Magic history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost bigger than the top deck.
Right.
Because you could just see, and that right there is the worst part of the fact of this arena, this tournament being on Arena and being everybody in their homes. I would have loved to have seen that reaction with a arena full of people cheering and him just losing it on stage, having his friends mob him as he made top four. And then for him to, you know, to lose his, you know, to break down again after winning the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. He broke down. Going undefeated. He celebrated and broke down every time he won. Yada. He kept yelling it. It was incredible to watch. I was glad I was able to watch it.
Yeah, and it really shows the, like, because this was one of the big complaints that a lot of the pros were having about how the professional circuit is right now, is that for whatever reason, playing on Arena is so much more intensely full of pressure than playing in paper for whatever
reason. Well, you've got that clock that will make you lose.
Well, there's the clock, but there's always been the clock.
Right.
But there's something about playing online that just, there's more pressure to it.
Right.
And it's just, you could just see it. Like, there's just the wave of relief as it hit him after he hit the top four. And I mean, he played out of his mind.
He really did.
Absolutely out of his mind. One of the best performances I have ever seen from any Magic player. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this was his version of 28-3, where the Patriots came back in the Super Bowl, or when the Red Sox were down three games to none in the ALCS.
Don't you fucking do it. Don't you fucking do it.
I wasn't going to invoke that.
All right.
But since you mentioned
Or
being down 52-1, although this is a completely different league. I wasn't going to say it. You brought this on yourself.
Because I thought for sure you were going there.
No, I seriously wasn't going to go there, but you obviously, you know, have a gluttony for punishment. Okay.
I mean,
I remember that.
It was an incredibly great day to watch.
Crazy. What he did was impossible.
It really was. It was 100% impossible. Especially in the field that we saw with Epiphany. Out of the top eight, okay, it was Epiphany, 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 Treasures, Dragons, Mono Green, Mono White. Like, I don't think Mono White.
Is it Epiphany? Is it Epiphany and Grixis Epiphany kind of do different things?
Right. I don't think Mono White.
They played
was
the game
eight.
A little differently.
No, Mono White wasn't eight. Who was it, number eight?
Mono White was eighth.
Was Mono White eighth? Yeah, you're right.
Ray Sato was eighth, and then Sampardee was seventh with Mono Green.
Yeah.
John Merkel, Eli Cassis, and Matt Sperling were Grixis Epiphany in 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, and Matt Sperling was who I was talking about, where he had the game and just kept getting mana hosed, either screwed or flood, to the point where you're just like, oh, you know, it just felt really
bad beats.
Yeah, it did. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, and Jean Emmanuel, he worked a deck that took advantage of a lot. Like, he was playing Temur Treasures without Temur, you know, without Epiphany, surprisingly. Now, it bears saying, you'd have had Epiphany.
Didn't he take them out during one
He took them. He usually sideboarded them out quite a few times.
Like, he didn't even really, his deck wasn't really an Epiphany deck.
No, but it did have it in it.
So it's like, well, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it's a really good, powerful card. Mm-hmm. My deck doesn't need it, but hell, I'll use it.
But when you look at, like, the fact that PVDDR went down to, like, you know, like 12, you know, yeah. And now Noriyuki Mori, I loved his Azorius Tempo deck. He just got bad matchups and bad beats. You know, and then, yeah, Grixis Epiphany. Is it Epiphany? Mono Green Aggro. Grixis Epiphany. It's like,
I mean, I'll say this about Yuta's deck.
Yeah.
You were saying you don't think it's the best deck in the format. I probably agree with that. But at the same time, I think this is a deck that is probably better than what you might be thinking. I think it's going to stick around. There's going to be an uptick of people trying to play it because it's the world's deck. That always happens.
Right.
I think it'll stick around because, I mean, if you think about it, Is It Dragons has kind of been floating around the periphery for a few weeks now, a month or two, and Goldspan Dragons, I think regardless of what happens, Goldspan Dragons not going anywhere.
I disagree. And we'll talk about this in combat. Save it for that. But, you know, spoiler alert.
I mean,
I think Goldspan is a troublesome card.
This is kind of a segue.
It could be a segue. It could be a segue. We're your professional broadcasters.
Combat phase.
Because I'll just say this right now. Goldspan Dragon and Epiphany are warping the fucking meta. In every possible way, by every definition, they are warping the damn meta.
How many Goldspans did we see in this tournament?
Most played card. Goldspan Dragon was sitting at, it's not even in the top 10.
Not in the top 10.
That's weird.
It's not even in the top 10 creatures.
That can't be right.
I mean, I see 4. I see 8. Let me look. Is it Epiphany? Is that playing any? No.
Is it Dragons was playing it? Temur Dragons was, Temur Treasures was playing it.
The Grixis Epiphany decks weren't playing it.
Well, no, they were using Leer. Leer's a good. Leer's another sleeper card. Well, I don't think anybody's sleeping on Leer. Everybody was like,
and then so that's only 8 gold spans so far.
Yeah, but
8 gold spans. No, Smoldering Egg seem way more play than that.
Yeah,
is it Epiphany? And is it Epiphany? And that one didn't even play creatures.
Right.
Yeah. So there's only 8 gold span dragons in the tournament.
Yeah, it's still.
It's a ridiculous card.
Yeah,
it's
a
very powerful card. You know, what didn't show up very much was Renin 7.
Right. Well, Renin 7 really only showed up in the green aggro decks, and you only saw 2 of those, right? 3 of those.
Yeah, and they didn't do that great.
Sampardy had pretty good matchups, I think he took advantage of. PVDDR also saw some bad mana funkness.
And Seth Manfield just had a bad day.
Yeah, yeah.
So I So you're thinking that Alarmed Epiphany and Goldspan Dragon need to go?
I think.
What about a Seeker's Chariot?
I love a Seeker's Chariot. I don't want that to go anywhere. No. here's the thing. I think if you're going to do Alarmed Epiphany, I think I could see. Here's what I think. I think Alarmed Epiphany has to go. I think extra turns in a standard meta. It's just. And you add in, you know, the fact that we have so many easy ways to copy that spell with Galvanic Innervation and shit like that. I think Alarmed Epiphany is too powerful for this meta, period. And so I could see them saying, okay, if we're going to take out that, then what's going to happen is we're going to see a whole lot more of mid-range treasure decks. I could see them because everybody else too is talking about Goldspan. So it could also be said that gold, the two decks that played gold, four of Goldspan Dragons were the top two decks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you want to go there. I think at the very least, Epiphany has to go. I know Jake is sitting here saying it won't, you know, it's appropriately costed. And it is appropriately costed. All right, it's a seven, and it's not like Nexus, where, you know, it's a seven and you get it back. Okay, it's a seven and it's gone. Now it sits in the graveyard, but it's a seven and it's gone. But I feel that in Standard, at the least, like I think turn spells need to stick to Modern Horizons and lower, because I think in Standard it's too damn warping, and it's too damn, it takes away mid range. Okay, there were no mid-range deck. I mean, you could say Is It Dragons is kind of mid-range, but I feel it's more tempo than anything. The fact that we had a world championship without one mid-range deck, like, I don't know. What do you think, Aramis?
I think you're wrong. quoting a line from Civil War, that you're wrong, but you think you're right.
Wrong.
Is this just
wrong.
You right now? Is that, yeah?
You're wrong.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You're wrong.
But so, I will say this with a caveat: Elrond's Epiphany is the best card in Standard.
Yes,
and I don't think it's particularly close.
I agree.
The closest competition would be Asika's Chariot and Elrond's Epiphany.
Asika's Chariot and Goldspan Dragon, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. That being said, I still don't think that they ban it. I feel like Worlds was the measuring stick. And given the number of Epiphany decks that were here, what was that, half the meta? Eight decks? Nine decks?
At least.
Yeah, the ones that were Epiphany, that's four, five, six, seven, eight. There were eight that were actually called Epiphany.
Right, but Azorius Tempo had Epiphany. Is It Dragons had Epiphany?
Azorius Tempo had Epiphany. Is It Dragons had Epiphany? But that's not what they were trying to do as part of their main strategy.
Right.
So half of the meta was an Epiphany deck of some flavor. Now, five of them made the top six.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Five, top six, one, two, three, four, five, six. Four of them made the top six.
Right.
Four of them made the top eight. So it was half in the top eight. So, you know, it worked out. Half started, half got there.
Right.
Didn't win. And I don't think, you know, because two of them got, you know, 14th and 15th place.
Right.
So some of that could be pilot error. Some of that could have been bad matchups, mana screw. I feel like as strong as it is, I don't think it's not warping things the same way Oko did, or the same way Uro did, or the same way Nexus did.
Or Omnath.
Well, Omnath never had a chance. and I feel like we are literally 1 month away from a new set, which is going to shake things up in and of itself. I feel like what Wizards is doing is they're looking at these results saying, okay, Epiphany had a decent day, probably not as good as some people were thinking given the share of the meta that they had. I think people were thinking Epiphany was going to run away with this tournament, and it kind of didn't.
Well,
it wasn't the steamroller wrecked the world.
Well, no, Levi, you can't compare that, though. I got to interrupt because Levi's like, it's not nearly as warping as Eldraine cards. We don't want Eldraine cards.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, we don't want Eldraine cards, but that's the thing. Is that people are screaming about this as loud as they were screaming about Oko.
Right. And well, and I agree. It's not Oko, but we can't.
It's not the same.
We can't go by that because we don't have Oko cards. Okay, we don't want Oko cards. But
you have to have a best deck.
I agree.
You have to have a best card, and I think Epiphany is the best card.
Do you have to have a best deck or a best archetype?
You could have both.
I prefer best archetype. I think Standard's better with archetypes.
Top eight, top eight, there were six decks that played Epiphany. Five decks that played Epiphany. Because Temur Treasure didn't play it.
Right.
There were five decks in the top eight that played Epiphany, Kapan, but four of them, that was their main strategy. Is it Dragons had them in there and used them, but he boarded them out almost a lot.
Yeah, he did. Well, I mean, five out of eight, though, it's not.
It's still a big share of decks playing Epiphany. But remember when Bonecrusher Giant was 100% of the top eight?
Well, yeah.
You know, everybody was playing four copies. The first time it had ever happened.
Well, yeah, because it was shock. Shock
yeah,
on the
it was
body.
It was better than shock. It was so versatile. It had a creature attached to it. It was hard to remove. I mean, the biggest strike against keeping Epiphany in the format is the foretell. The fact that it gets around discard. So you can guarantee that you're going to get your Epiphany at some point by foretelling it.
Right.
I feel like we're too close to a new set. If Crimson Vow wasn't coming out in a month, I would be much more on board with banning Epiphany now and letting the chips fall where they may. Because we're literally starting preview season in like 2 weeks, I feel like they're going to wait. They're going to see how things go. I'll say this. When we made our wager,
yeah,
I was 90% sure that they were not going to ban Alrun's Epiphany.
And now you're at 50.
No. Oh. I'm at like 60, 70%.
Okay. I'll take that.
I see that it had a good showing. It wasn't crazy. Obviously, there were a lot of them at Worlds, and it is clearly the best card, and your strategy revolves around that. But I having seen some of the crazy standards we've had in the past, for some reason in my gut, it just doesn't feel like one of those standard formats. It doesn't feel like Affinity. It doesn't feel like Callblade. It doesn't feel like Oko. It doesn't feel like, you know, the 5 seconds that we had on Math. It doesn't feel like that. It's strong. It's the best card to put in your deck, and that archetype of decks is the best. But there's a lot of different ways to do it. You don't necessarily need it, as shown by Is It Dragons. It's nice to have. But it's not so broken that it needs to go now, which isn't to say that after Crimson Vow comes out, if it's still crazy, you absolutely get rid of it. I'm on board with after Crimson Vow. If it's still nuts, then yeah, something needs to change. But I feel like this is one of those situations where we have to give it a little bit more time to breathe.
Right.
That's where I'm thinking.
I don't know that I can still agree. Here's what I think. All right. I think, too, that I think we could see Epiphany banned before CV. In that, if Wizards can look and see, because I don't believe they intended Galvanic Iteration to do what it does with. I don't think they tested it with Alrun's Epiphany. And I think that that's where the problem card lies, is that interaction. Now, I don't think they get rid of Galvanic Iteration because it helps way too many other cards and decks. And you copy spells are fine. But when you add it into the fact that, like you said, it could be foretold. Because there are a lot of ways, a lot of cards yesterday, I forget what the card was, it makes, you know, dump like your entire hand and do something else. And like, not a wheel, but sort of like we saw it a few times where people had to dump all the cards they had and, you know, draw again or whatever. The fact is that because it can sit in foretell and because of Galvanic Iteration, it feels like if they have another card, I have a feeling they're going to start looking at CV and going, is there some other way that's going to break this even further? Okay, let's ban it now. Before, you know, either that or it goes the other way and they're like, no, people will discover this thing and it'll sell more Crimson Vow.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think part of the problem, too, is that because Alrun's Epiphany is played so heavily and not a lot of other foretell cards are, that also kind of works against it in that sense, is that if you're playing blue and they foretell something, you're like, okay, that's Epiphany. I have to get ready for it.
Actually, what was kind of great was I saw Yuta. One of the reasons I think he sideboarded it out a lot is he was foretelling a lot, saw it coming. So he would take that out, and he only had one copy in his yeah, he only had one.
Yeah, so that's the bluff. So yeah. He's foretelling that, and he also has, where's, there was another one in there I thought yeah. that he had, that had Fortell maybe in his sideboard, maybe not. But that's the thing, is that most of these decks, I don't think they played. Did they play Saw It Coming?
Not a lot of them. A lot of them played Dissipate. And
Dissipate's good.
Yeah, and a lot of them, and Jawari Disruption, jeepers, that was everywhere. Yeah.
Get you with the days.
Yeah, Fading Hope too.
That's a good card.
A lot of people liked Fading Hope.
Yeah, because so that's the thing. Not a lot of other Fortell cards are being played. So that's something that works against, in my opinion, Epiphany getting banned, because it's foretold. So they're literally telling you, hey, this is coming.
Right.
You know it's here. Hopefully a lot of people, like the top players, like I said, I didn't get to see the tournament, so I don't know how often it actually was foretold, or if they just had it sitting there.
It was foretold quite a bit.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So they're like, hey, this is coming. You've got, you know, three turns to deal with this. Figure it out, find an answer, get a counterspell, something.
But that's just it. It's the reason I say warping is that, okay, what the hell can mono green do against that deck? If you get to turn 7 or 8 and you're mono green and it's aggro, so yeah, you don't want to get there. But if you get to 7 or 8, GG. Like, you don't have, unless you're going to play tempo / counter magic, that's why when I say that Epiphany is warping the meta, I'm saying that in that it's like anything else. People were like, well, Field of the Dead, just run Field of Ruin or just run this. Or it's like, well, yeah, there are a bunch of ways to deal with it. But the fact that you have to main deck or play blue when you don't like to play blue, which I don't understand because, you know. But it's just one of those things I could see this happening. I still think, and I think it should. I don't think Wizards, and Wizards could sit there and say, you know what, mea culpa, that's on us. You know, I guess we understand now that with this new style of Magic cards we're creating, extra turns is too powerful for Standard.
Yeah, extra turns are a lot more powerful than they used to be. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The value and ETBs and just what you can do on an extra turn is so much more powerful than what you could even 5 years ago.
Right.
So, I mean, I kind of agree with what you were saying. It's like, stop printing the extra turn spells in Standard.
Yeah.
Put them in the supplemental sets. I think that's actually a really good fix.
Yeah, and that's what they can do, and that's what they should do.
Unless you make them cost like 9.
Yeah. Even if you make them not, you can't anymore. With the ramp we have now, how many times have you gotten Sakama out turn 4?
Well, that's playing basically vintage.
I know, but you know, in essence,
we don't have access to Rampant Growth. We don't have access to Soul Ring.
Yeah, but still,
It's harder to ramp into 9 in Standard than it is.
Yeah.
Because most of your ramp spells in Standard, if they're getting a land, it's coming in tapped, and it's costing at least 3 mana. If you get more than one, it's costing 4 or 5 mana to do that. So it's one of those things
And the fact is, we sit there and say it's a 7 drop. But let's be honest, it's a 6 drop.
Yeah, it's basically a 6 that it costs 7 if you drew it late.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to agree on this, but
I do think Goldspan is safe.
I think it's safe, but I don't think it should be.
Hmm.
I am for
same with the Seeker's Chariot.
I'm for having. I see. Here's the thing. I like a Seeker's Chariot only because it's an artifact and it makes 2 creatures, but they're 2/2s that die to any and everything, and then it's just sitting there on your side.
But a Seeker's Chariot's really good with running 7. It's like, oh, look at that 7/7 token I just made. I'm going to copy of that.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. I understand that. But let's get into the main conversation.
Main phase.
Okay, so main phase 2. And we'll just say I won.
we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. Let's talk a little bit. The news came out today, and I put it inside our doc, Aramis.
Yeah, I see it.
That there has been some, as everybody knows, I mean, or you may not know, but here in America. Really? Alexa, hang up. Alexa, cancel. Alexa, shut up.
Here in America, Alexis is omnipresent.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Okay. So they're talking a little bit. Magic.wizards.com put an article up today saying that it's basically, the title is Innistrad, Crimson Vow, Product Delays Affecting North America. Long and short of it is, TLDR, and it's not a very long article anyway, is that it looks like, and I just find this funny, given how much that they're trying to move us to set boosters, that they're basically saying pre-release weekend, there will be no set boosters available.
And it might not be available till after release.
It might not be available till after.
Whoops.
Oh, shit. I just... And it's funny. It's funny because of... Like, they're going out of their way to push the set boosters and to make it like they're trying so hard to change our mindset as to what a booster pack is to where... And it's starting to work. It was starting to work. People were starting to think of set boosters as the way you crack packs in Magic. And now... It's no, sorry. Draft boosters will be available. Collector boosters will be available.
And pre-release packs, which is very important.
Yes. But it's just, it's funny. So November 12th pre-release events in North America, we will not be able to get set boosters. So if you pre-order a set booster box, you won't be getting it until the day of.
Or maybe a little later.
Yeah, or maybe a little later.
That's the thing. That's the sentence that's really you have to keep an eye on. It says it possibly through fans should anticipate availability delays through release on November 19th. So they had a big supply chain hiccup.
Yep, which a lot of companies have due to the pandemic.
Yeah, this is happening a lot during the pandemic. People are trying to pivot where they're getting things from and who's shipping them and who's getting. There's huge there have been news stories about this where there's container ships just sitting off the coast. Full of containers because they cannot dock because they can't get the other ships unloaded because there's no trucks and it's a mess.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get better for a while.
No, it's not. So
I would expect to see these types of messages for every set through next year.
I wouldn't say through next year. I'm going to say till the spring.
Only because it takes months for the supply chain to catch up with real world events. The supply chain is always a couple of months behind how things are actually going.
Right. But as far as Wizards go, other than the dual set, double feature, which is coming out January 28th, and Commander Collection Black, which is 28th, they don't have a ton of first quarter releases. They might have a supplemental set, but nothing's coming out for Standard until March, I don't believe, right?
Right, but again, even if things are looking better in March, it'll be at least July or August until the supply chain is fixed from that regard.
Right. But by then, since it's a later release, they can... I mean, because they already have printed, so they can...
Yeah, these cards are printed so far ahead of time, but it's getting them shipped
right.
And getting them transported.
Well, what they would do is do it early enough. It's not... I think part of this problem is the back-to-back release nature of Innistrad this time. In that, you know, if they knew it was coming in January, it wouldn't be such a big deal. It'd be like, okay, we're just going to ship everything out first week in December, and if it's there early, you can't sell it, you know?
Yeah, but it takes, since it's coming on container ship, it takes a long time to cross the ocean.
Yes, it does. So this is going to be an interesting time.
Yeah, next year is going to be just like this year. It's going to be just like last year. There's going to be shortages. There's going to be... allocation issues with the store.
You're not going to find Jumpstart 2.
Yeah, so if you pre-order something, there's a possibility that you might not get your pre-order until way later, if ever. So it sucks, but that's the reality where we are. I mean, this is not just affecting Magic. This is affecting everything. I mean, I talked to somebody at a barbershop who they ordered doors for their house, and the delivery lead time was about 6 months, and when they finally got them, they were the wrong doors.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like wrong size and everything. They had to reorder everything and just it's a mess. So we just have to suck it up for a while longer.
Yeah. And it's going to
get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be something we have to get used to, but I mean,
hold on to your butts.
Yeah. So with that being said, I mean, I just think it's ironic 'cause it's a booster.
Yeah, no, that is the funniest thing about it is that, you know, hey, set boosters are great. Here we're going to push set boosters. That's our bundles are going to be set boosters now. Prizes are going to be set boosters. We're giving all these set boosters. We're shorting. We're intentionally cutting back the number of draft boosters we make. Oh, wait, we're not getting set boosters? Fuck.
Oh, we can't charge you more. Well, we're going to charge you set booster rates, but, you know.
The draft booster box if that's what it comes to.
Yes, me too. I wonder if Kerwin's is which one they'll send us. So
we'll have to see.
Yes. And so the last thing I want to talk about is we did do a special stream today. You were in for a little bit. But because I won yesterday, or I passed my test yesterday, my wife was like, you know, you can do whatever you want today. And listen, I want you to understand something. You are my friend. I love you. You know this. I mean, okay, I have very few friends in this town. And you made a point last week at the end of our very special stream with Steve and Anthony to kind of let your displeasure about my choice of decks that I've chosen to work on. You know, and you kind of let that out. So I heard you. Okay, and I realized
Did you?
I realized that Slivers and Omnath are no fun for you. You're not enjoying that. And so I thought about it and other decks I've wanted to play, and I decided that I have ordered and it'll be here soon. I mean, right now I just have a proxy because I wanted to have it, you know, available for a thing. It should be here by Wednesday though because it's already shipped. I went ahead today and I went through all of my cards through the last, you know, 2 or 3 days, and I grabbed dragons that I think work, and I decided to build a dragon tribal deck with the Ur-Dragon as my commander.
Yeah. So here, you're noticing a theme here, folks. He had Golos, 5 colors. He had Slivers, 5 colors. He has Omnath.
4 colors.
4 colors, but that's only because Omnath doesn't have black in it. If he had black, he'd be 5 colors.
Yes, he would.
And now Ur-Dragon, 5 colors. So you can imagine what cards are going to be in those decks. Basically the same cards in all the other decks.
No, the five-color piles. No, no,
are
no. There are.
The same. Although this one, I will be fair, this one, when you were building it, this one is going to be more heavily focused on dragons, which is mostly in red. But I imagine there's going to be a lot of the same bullshit from the other colors mashed in there. I'm looking to get you.
Hey,
to...
I didn't put Rhystic Study in.
You should have.
I thought about it.
Should have.
But I
You gotta build monocolor decks. You gotta build 2-color decks.
Why?
Because restrict yourself.
Find more creativity. I'm playing 5 color. 5 colors should be a restriction. I have mana issues. I could have mana issues for days. But I did. I went ahead today and we built this and it was kind of cool. Jake hopped in and Steve hopped in. And I fucking love Steve because I love how he'll be like, well, you should put this in there. And I'm like, yeah, don't you think I would have put it in there if I had it? Like, mother hucker, I'm showing you the cards I have. Don't tell me the cards you think I should put in because I don't have them. Like, in some cases I had him, I was like, oh, that's a good thing. I think I have that over here. But, with the, you know, he'll pull like a $45, $50 card. I'll be like, no. You know, and Jake was having a good old time, though. Jake was very helpful. And I think this deck is going to be interesting. Jake's going to try to see if he can join us. I guess Wednesday night is when he's editing his show now, which I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, mother hucker, you know, I wouldn't have put you on our network if it meant you couldn't play Commander Craft. Like, we're supposed to come first, dude. So maybe you move your release to Fridays. Just saying it. Just throw that out there. People can listen to it on their way to work Friday. Just saying. I'm looking forward to it. So that's going to be played Friday night. But here's the thing, guys. That's just it. If you want to play Commander Craft, now's the time because I'm going to be doing an untried deck.
Yeah.
And yeah, I did I've made a few changes. I removed a few things. I really like Immortal Sun. I put it back in. I'm like, yeah, it's a 6-drop, but it
I mean, it's really powerful. I mean, it's the biggest knock against it is the mana cost, but I mean, it everything else that it does, I mean,
letting me draw 2 cards, making everything 1/1, making it so planeswalkers.
Deck, do you?
No, that's why. If I don't have planeswalkers, I start thinking about putting that in. I thought about putting a few in. I thought about putting Nissa in, and I thought about putting Ren at 7. But I was like, yeah, it's too much green. It's bad enough I'm 5-color. It's really bad if you got to start dueling. Can I bring Pramacon Pillow Fight on Wednesday?
Ooh.
And he's laughing because he expects that I know what that means. I literally know what none of those words mean. On Wednesday means.
Pramacon is the commander. It's the legendary wall that you can only attack people to your left or your right.
Listen, if you
and
think...
then he basically sits there with like all sorts of stuff to make it so that everybody else has to attack everybody else, but not him. Yeah, I like that deck. I mean, I'm bringing Gen for game 1. I have a bunch of decks that I updated So I have basically everything except for three decks available for game two, because they've all been up, they've all been updated and had, you know, a couple of cards here and there changed. So I could bring anything. I could bring Yidris.
I'm
for game
just
two.
Gonna put this out there. No, no Zakama.
But I updated the mana base.
Oh fuck. So
I put in my ancient tomb.
Here's the thing, Levi. He suggested it. A few other people have too. This may become a thing. I mean, not something we could do all the time. Here's the thing, folks. I mean, I'm gonna lay it all out there for you right now. I mean, Aramis and I are in our mid to late 40s. We have wives.
Excuse me.
All right,
mid to late 40s. I haven't even hit 40.
Yeah,
yet.
I know you're in late 30s. Shut the fuck up. I'm in my late 40s, and Aramis is in his mid 20s. And here's
with the hairline of a 50-year-old.
Well, yeah. What are you gonna do? Yeah, the more hair you lose on your head, the more I get into my chin. So this is good.
Yeah, I'm gonna I think eventually just reverse where the hair goes. So,
the point is though, we have a hard time like doing extra shows. We'd love to. I think we both would love to like program five nights of Planeswalkers a week. Hmm. Our wives would shoot us. We would end up getting divorced. We'd end up living together. We'd then kill each other. So
you first.
Yeah, well, oh yeah, you got me. Yeah, let's face it, I'm slow, fat. You got me. You're spry.
No, it's not that. It's because you go to bed at 7:30 at night.
Oh yeah, I'm wicked early to bed. Well, I'm not saying we're sharing a room. If we're in a place, man, it's a two bedroom. I can go to bed whenever. You know. Although then again, I mean, you know, if my wife kicks me out, I got to bring ladies over anyway. You'll hate me just because my standards as far as women over were 8 or 80, lame, sick, or crazy. If they couldn't walk, I wheel them. But, you know, that would probably drive you to drink. Oh, this could be worthwhile.
So your whole philosophy on life is old enough to have a Happy Meal, old enough to be one?
How about old enough to serve a Happy Meal?
You had to think about that. That's more terrifying.
Well, I was trying to think about things that I could say that would not get me fired from any job I might, you know, work at one day. Because believe me, my first response was to think about the Matthew McConaughey line from Days to Confuse, where he's like, I love high school girls. I keep getting older, but they stay the same age. Which, by the way, if you have never seen Days to Confuse, worthwhile watch. But that being said, there could be something we do on special occasions, like maybe 3-day weekends or I mean, especially when we get closer to the holidays. Here's the thing. We did not take off half as much during the summer as I thought we would. We are at 115 episodes, and I think we started the year at, I think we were just above 70. So, I mean, we're doing really, really well. I'm going to reserve the right, guys, because last year it happened. There may be weeks, like when we get closer to Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, during the holiday season, if it's a Monday night and there's nothing happening and nothing firing, we may just be like, hey, we're not, you know, which might be a night when we do something like build a commander deck or something. So I could see us doing that. So we're going to kind of talk about it. Maybe I'll bring it to the Patreon call, which we probably should schedule at some point. At this point, we just should schedule it in December, where we, you know, where we can kind of bring that up and kind of come up with a time and a place to do that. You know, but I really enjoyed it. Today was kind of a test on that to see how it would go. I think the way I did it was really good in that it was collaborative. It was in the Discord, so somebody could hop in and be in and out. And, you know, what we would do is we would tell somebody, hey, send us a list of the cards you're thinking. So give us like, you know, 200 cards, you know, or 100 cards minus the mana base. And, you know, so that people can be prepared. But it's something to think about. But with that being mind, anything else you can think of, or what do you think of that idea?
I think it's a good idea. I mean, it's a nice alternate piece of content. Like, even if by some miracle we like don't have players for a Wednesday night, that could be a week that we do that. I mean, it could even be where we take the decks we have and say, hey, this is the deck I have.
Yeah.
Do you think there could be an edit? I mean, that would be an opportunity for me for my decks, because full disclosure, boys and girls, when I build my commander decks, these are not really original decks.
No, you're EDH.
I go to EDH Rec and I click average deck, and that's basically what I build.
See, for me, I do go to EDH Rec, but I'm looking at cards that I might already have and where they fit, or looking at how they build stuff and going, okay, well, like, you know, I don't, believe it or not, I don't have Doubling Season, but I have Anointed Procession. So I'm like, okay, well,
you know how much Anointed Procession is now?
I have no idea.
It's crazy.
Oh, sure. Wow.
You keep talking, I'll find it.
But so, I mean, that's kind of what I use EDH Rec for, is I'll look at it. And I did that today. There were cards that EDH Rec was saying I should have in an Ur-Dragon deck that I don't got, like Triplet or Triple.
They're $34 a piece.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But the triple card you were telling me about, like, I don't have that. Now I might get it before Wednesday.
Fiery Emancipation?
Yeah. Oh, I have Fiery Emancipation. No, triple triple threat or... you guys were like, triple this, and it came out in one of the Commander sets recently. And
I don't know what that one was.
But in any event, they were telling me I should have it. I'm like, listen, I don't, but I have this card that does some of the same thing. But here's the thing. I'm probably going to try to go to Flights on Wednesday and hit there. And first of all, oh, by the way, you went to Flights this week.
I finally went to Flights.
What did you think?
I might have left a puddle of drool on the floor.
He has a store.
He's got some nice old, like, I'll be honest, if I had the money to plunk down, I totally would have gotten a revised starter.
I know. What is it, $500?
It's $1,800.
Aramis, I'm going to tell you right now.
That story's going to get me in trouble.
No, let me just put this to you right now, okay? I am your friend. Again, I love you. I've said this a few times. I've bored times. Wow, this stuff's really good. I'm already at the I love you phase. But legit, I love you. If you plunk $1,800 down for anything Magic related, anything that doesn't involve going somewhere and playing in an event, I'm literally going to come and slash your tires, because you can't do that, sir.
I mean, he's got the stuff in his case.
I know. Oof. I know.
He showed me the triplets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God. And I showed him to I showed him because my wife was there. She took me there for the anniversary. She said, you can go spend $50 on cards.
Oh, and I was like, all right. That's so sweet. So, my wife would not do that.
So we went there and I was like, because he had a I think it was a revised or unlimited. He had an unlimited Black Lotus sitting in the case. And he's like, do you want to see the triplets? I'm like, what do you mean the triplets? He goes, I got three more of those. I'm like, fuck you. So he comes out with his alpha, beta, and unlimited or lotuses.
Yeah.
And he's like, $250,000 right there. I'm like, shut the fuck up. It was crazy. And I just basically spent there like not knowing what to get because all of it was there.
Yeah.
So what I finally ended up getting was a pack of Mirrodin and a pack of Darksteel.
Yeah, what'd you pull?
The Mirrodin pack was a dud. Nothing in there was more than a dollar. The Darksteel pack, I pulled an Aether Vial, which is an uncommon, but it's a $35 uncommon now.
Right.
So, like, you know, that was a pretty nice pull. And it's like, I feel like if I go back there the next time I go, I'm going to pick up another old pack. I mean, just for the nostalgia.
Right.
Maybe see if they have any Onslaught packs. Pull a Fetchland. Because it still pisses me off. I had a foil Polluted Delta. Those are like $150, $160 now. You know, he had a Gaia's Cradle there. I had a Gaia's Cradle. Those were $1,200.
They're $18, I was reading. So, yeah.
Depends on where you go. But, yeah, I mean, you're spending over $1,000 for a Gaia's Cradle. It's like, motherfucker, I had one of these. I gave it away.
I know. I'm the same way. Like, I just think about some of that stuff, and I'm like, ugh.
So I know that store is going to get me into some trouble if I'm not careful.
Yeah.
Because there's some really good stuff.
Yeah,
there.
And we'll talk offline about possibly trying to do something with them at some point. We got a few ideas. So, but you know, with that, I mean, that we're kind of right at the 1 hour mark. So, well, an hour and 13. So, but I mean, yeah, I didn't want to let that go. I mean, the fact you got to go to Flights too is kind of exciting. And
store is awesome.
Like, that's just it. I'm going to go there Wednesday, and I'm pretty sure I can get, you know, the card I need. So, you know, I'm definitely probably going to stop by there on my way home Wednesday afternoon and, you know, pick up a few things. And, you know, my deck should be all set to go. And that's kind of where it's kind of a great store for us to kind of go into. So, but
he's constantly working on it. It's a good spot.
He really is. He's doing pretty good. So on that note, why don't we go ahead and go to
End Step.
All right, and Steph. So while we're rolling up our play mats, putting our cards back in their boxes, taking the pizza boxes to the trash, because darn it, your mother still does not work in this game store. We want to remind you that we have an awesome Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content, from Minecraft to DCU Online to Farming Simulator to any number of stuff. Look up the Plains Talkers podcast channel on Twitch. You're going to see all the shows we do on Magic and any other geeky games we want. And you could always follow me also. I have a personal Twitch. I'm at MindCrime73.
And if you want to interact with the show in more of a real-time fashion, more, you know, right when we're here talking back and forth like some of our listeners were tonight, join our Discord. It's discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. That's where you can go to meet up with a really great community. That's where you can go if you want to play Commander Craft. That's one of the places you have to go to be able to do it. We do our Winnabox tournaments through Discord. You have to be registered in the Discord to be able to enter into those. And lots of folks there always willing to chat about Magic or anything else that's on your mind. So discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. And if Twitter is more your speed, you want to follow us that way. We normally tweet when we're going live or if something really important happens, we feel like we got to talk about it. Go to @planestalkerpod on Twitter and follow us there.
And I have a personal Twitter. It's @WRBenson. Now, I don't tweet there very often, but you can also find our Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/planestalker, not planestalkers, but planestalker, mostly because some guy who liked airplanes took that spot. So like and follow our page. And don't forget, we do a playcast on Wednesdays where we play Paper Commander live. Tune in to that and all of our channels right around 7 Eastern Wednesday. It's called Commander Craft. Right now, we do not have any patrons playing. Levi, if you want in, go on to the Patreon channel in Discord and let us know you're in. But right now, we have 2 open seats for the first game and at least 1 open seat for the second. Want to be a part of it? Let us know. Patrons are until tomorrow morning, and then anyone can sign up after that. Just go to our Discord.
And finally, if you want to send us an email, you have a question about the show, maybe a suggestion for something to cover in another show, there's 3 different email addresses you can use to contact us. The first email address goes to both of us. We both see it. It's podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email Will directly, his email address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you'd like to email me directly, it is Aramis, A-R-A-M-I-S, @planestalkerspodcast.com.
And on that note, we want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight to episode 116 of the Plains Talkers podcast. We will be back next Monday with episode 117. We'll also be here Wednesday night for Commander Craft, so you won't want to miss that. Again, thank you for watching. If you're watching us live, thank you for listening. If you're driving into work on your podcatcher, and we are so thankful to have you around. So for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thanks for listeners. Have a great week. And remember to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you need it. Take care and have a good one. Bye-bye. And thanks for being listeners, not thanks for listening. Yeah, so bye now. We'll say bye. Bye. Yeah. I've been drinking too much, I think. Yeah. This is what happens.